Well, my name's Clint Douglas. I was a staff sergeant on a Special Forces A team in 2nd Battalion, 20th Special Forces Group, Illinois National Guard. This is based on a journal entry I wrote after we had a very bizarre meeting with an Afghan warlord in this castle that he had occupied. The name of the essay is Lunch with Pirates. Ziauddin was a bandit and a thug, and so, of course, he had been a close American ally. Although a Pashtun, he had been a member in the Tajik-dominated Northern Alliance. As a young man, he had fought against the Soviets during the jihad and then against the Taliban, who had imprisoned and tortured him for several years. When the Americans invaded, he joined the swelling ranks of unemployed warlords and re-emerged from obscurity to fight the Taliban once again. By all accounts, he had been a brave and tenacious fighter, but he was now a petty warlord beholden to no one, and his rank of general was recognized due to his years of fealty and service against the Taliban. His men had terrorized the community, demanding protection money from the local shop owners and raping young boys on their way to school. They were highwaymen who set up illegal checkpoints, charging road taxes from anyone unlucky enough to stumble upon one of their roadblocks. And they preyed on the local nomads, kidnapping prominent tribal elders until their families ransomed them from jail. Audin and his men had gone out of their way to alienate and piss off everyone in town. Rocketing our firebase didn't endear him to us either. Now, I had never in my pitiful life knowingly exchanged pleasantries over lunch, or any other meal for that matter, with a man who was regularly trying to kill me. But when Bill invited me to escort him up to the castle for his first meeting with Audin, I jumped at the opportunity. The idea seemed so elegant, like the medieval Spaniards and Moors retiring to each other's tents to play chess and exchange bon mots after a bloody day of battle and slaughter. So, moving on, we're at the lunch. Things have already started to go badly. And this is my team sergeant, Bill, speaking. Well, General, the only way that we'll be able to help you is if you join your forces with the Afghan National Army, Bill continued. He didn't have to threaten. He was a threat. The son of Norwegian farmers from Minnesota, he looked every bit the errant Viking that he was. His thick and muscled body always seemed to be straining to contain something explosive and volatile. His face was permanently locked in an angry scowl under a shaggy mane of sandy hair. I'd always had a nagging sense that Bill might feel the need to snap my neck someday, just to relieve tension, and I'd been his friend for 6 years. All right, so the luncheon has already finished. The results are ambiguous at best. So we're back in our firebase, and we've gotten out of the vehicles, removed our body armor, and we've headed over to the Afghan officer tent to discuss basically our impressions with our Afghan counterparts. The general consensus among the Afghans was that Audin needed to be handled respectfully, if not gently. While all this flowery discussion was taking place, I noticed that Bill seemed more explosive than usual. And then suddenly, he slammed his fist onto the table, spilling everyone's tea, and his face contorted into unmasked fury. I hate that asshole, he screamed to no one in particular. I wanted to punch that no-good motherfucker in the face. Beat that motherfucker right in his own goddamn house. Beat him right in front of his men. Motherfucker. I'd love to shoot that bastard. And then he laughed like a maniac at his own bloody fantasy. Cultures everywhere celebrate their traditions, but they also chafe against them. Most Afghans were tired. Tired of war, tired of fighting, and tired of meaningless talk. Bill embodied the unrestrained and unpredictable power of the United States, but his frustrated rage appeared to be honest, and honesty is a rare and precious thing. Stories of his impolitic explosion filtered through the Terps, the ANA soldiers, the Afghan militias and mercenaries, into the city, and no doubt to our myriad enemies. Bill's reputation was made. That was the day that the Afghans named Bill Shere Khan, the Tiger. That was the day that the Afghans fell in love with him. Bill was a force of nature, and so it was impossible to tell whether his outburst was genuine or calculated drama, but it amounted to an earthquake. Here was Bill, heir to Iskander and all of his blonde, barbarous glory, equal parts courteous and cruel. Up until that moment, the Audin situation was a local political problem. But Bill had made it personal. He'd made it tribal. And at that moment, he'd crossed over and gone native. After that day, there wasn't a thing that our Afghan troops wouldn't do for him. They trusted him completely. In a land fragmented by blood feuds, he transcended politics and had declared a personal vendetta. And in Afghanistan, it was considered a moral obligation to carry out one's revenge. 2 weeks later, Ziauddin quietly abandoned Castle Grayskull and fled to Kabul.